It's dangerous when there's no clock, isn't it? I'll keep that.
The connotation was a good one.
It is. Not if you work for Kenneth Copeland, though. You know how long he can preach for. Hallelujah. It's so good to be with you. It's nice to be back home in my own county. It's nice to be against friends and partners. And I just want to bring the love of Kenneth Copeland Ministries Europe to you all, those who know the ministry, those who, you know those who were connected to his ministry and who he knows. Bishop Stephen, it's an honor to be with you, to have that connection. Sir, I'm you're so lovely. You just absorb people into you as a spiritual father. Being around you, I just feel secure.
Amen.
And
Amen.
You're a father in the faith.
Bless you, my friend.
It's, guys, in September the 27th this year, part of my role at KCM is to look after partner ministries and partner churches and those who are on the database as partners. And we've tested and had two small events at the ministry headquarters, which can only hold about 25 people in the boardroom. So it went really well with having some pastors down and inputting into them. So we went. I was tasked with doing something quite a bit larger this year. And on September the 27th, in a local partner church in Warminster, down in Wiltshire, we held a day just like this. And it's just amazing just what goes on and what happens. And it's so encouraging. And I just want to encourage you, it's not the number who attend. You know, because when you've arranged something like I did with that, and then you see who turns up, but the right people are here at the right time for the right impartation so that they can go from faith to faith. Well, you know, the beauty of God in creation, it was Garden of Eden, it was to go out. And he's going from glory to glory. We're going from faith to faith. We're going from hope to hope. You know, we're going from victory to victory.
Yes.
We're going further because there's a harvest of souls to be won. And, you know, the beauty is we win at the end of the book. Hallelujah. But what really, you know, came from that day was just how this is valuable. And everyone said in that day, it is a safe environment to be yourself, be open with each other, and receive that impartation. And as I, all day today, from the moment of stepping in here, this is a safe environment.
Amen.
No matter, you know, whether you're in full-time ministry, part-time, assisting, a member of this church serving Bishop Stephen and his wife in this thing, it's a safe environment. You can be yourself because you're going to be built up, encouraged to run your race and run it with joy and run it till you break that tape at the end.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, glory to God. I was laughing with Bishop Stephen because I panicked on Thursday and emailed him and said, I haven't asked about the dress code. And I said, would an open collar shirt be all right? Yes, Andrew, that'll be fine. They turn up in suits and ties. So, oh, well. So then, you know, Brother Joe preaches my message. Stephen finishes my message. So, good afternoon. See you next year.
No,
hallelujah. It was like, oh my days. If you've ever had to prepare something and it's like, is this right, Lord? Is this right? And then the first person to stand up uses scriptures you were going to use and you think, you know, that's right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So I'm here to encourage you.
Kenneth sent his regards to us.
Oh, That was it, yes. I should have brought it up with him, but when we had our day on September the 27th, and because many of you are partners with the ministry, I'd put a request into America, could he do a video message for my pastor's day? And I'd heard nothing with 2 weeks to go. So I recontacted them, and a lady over there contacted Australia, where Kenneth was in Australia doing a victory campaign, and he recorded a video message for all our partner pastors, which is 7 minutes long. And then, when Pastor George, who is the CEO of the ministry and does Eagle Mountain Church, he then recorded one himself. So I've got them back at the office, and I'm going to send them up to on a little stick to you, Bishop, so you can see what he said for our day. But it's still relevant, because really this is, me being here is an extension of September the 27th, because you couldn't make it. And, you know, and then when I looked at what ICFM was, I thought, I'm in great company. I'm Andrew. This is, we're in strange times. It's been a strange week for me. I had lunch with the evangelist Andrew and Jen Cannon from Liverpool on Monday. They came and called in the office. I took them out. They're doing a phenomenal work. Obviously, you know, no KCM. They're local, going all over the world. Dynamite testimony. And then on Tuesday this week, I'm just sat at my desk, and one of our trustees comes by the window, waves, so I jump up and let him in. And five steps behind him is Dennis Burke, who's knows Kenneth. He's a fine minister. So I'm tactile, you know. So I grab him by both shoulders, having never met him, and he's like, just as he steps into the door, "Brother Dennis," I said to him, "you were the first guest lecturer that spoke to us when I was in Rhema Bible Training Center, South Africa in 1989. He burst out laughing and he said, "That's the only time I've been in South Africa. it wasn't me who didn't get him invited back. The trustee was with him. I just said, "I was coming up to you, and would he pray for me?" And of course, he said to Dennis, "Andrew's going ministering." And I was saying it was for ICFM, and he went, "I used to be president of ICFM." Yeah. So I come with his prayers, I come with his praying over me, and I come with his anointing to impart to you, hallelujah. So he sends his regards, glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just as a foundation scripture. I'm very conscious of time, but I really want to just encourage, build up, lift you up, keep moving forward. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to just pick out a couple of verses, says he confidently. Verse 1, "Therefore, since we have this ministry," say, "I have a ministry."
I have a ministry.
"Since we have this ministry," it says, "as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." Hallelujah. Dropping down to verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." Like Bishop Stephen alluded to, we're the condiment, we're who God works through us. We've got that treasure in our hearts. In us is the treasure of heaven to give out. Hallelujah. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." Verse 13. "And since we have this same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I speak." Hallelujah. We have the same spirit of faith, guys. Mm-hmm. so that what we believe in this word we speak. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. Hallelujah. I read this quote, or this Facebook post from Bill Johnson of Bethel. He says this: faith does not deny the problem's existence, it denies it a place of influence. Hallelujah. Faith does not deny the problem's existence, it denies it a place of influence. And you know what? The enemy is always trying to influence what you're pressing towards. He brings influence. Brother Copeland's partner letter for November talks about the revelation he got from Brother Hagen, and his covenant letter this month is covenant or contradiction, which is what Joel spoke on. That's it. It's about how David was walked down onto that battlefield. He had covenant. All he saw, covenant. I'm a covenant man of God. Goliath was the contradiction, which froze Saul, froze a nation of an army who had a covenant mark on their physical body, looking at an uncircumcised army, and it froze them in their tracks. They considered the contradiction to what their covenant. David said, I don't care how big he is. I don't care about his military might, his expertise. He's an uncircumcised Philistine, and he's defied the armies of God. And the thing is, in our journey, and our whatever we're going through, wherever we're progressing, whether you're in, you know, in work, in schools, in your job, in ministry, there's pressures. There's things come against us, which has been ministered to already today. But I just want to continue going with that. Hallelujah. Just to lift your arms, just to encourage you, just to build you up. We've got to challenge what's trying to influence. We've got to speak to that contradiction. Not in my household. Amen. Not in my life. Hallelujah. Not in my ministry. Not in my congregation. Not in my town. Not in my children. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In the story of Alice in Wonderland, apparently Alice makes this comment. It's impossible, the Mad Hatter says, only if you believe it is. Made me think many Christians are crying out, it's impossible, and the Word of Faith movements are the Mad Hatter, because they think we're mad. We turn around and say, only if you believe it is. But all things are possible through Christ who has set us free. We're more than conquerors. Glory to God. Matthew 19, all things are possible to those who believe. I'm with the believers today. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A young man took a shortcut through a graveyard on his way home one night, thinking it would be a quicker way route home, fell into an open grave. In the pitch black, he's trying to screaming and shouting, scrambling and crawling up. Clawing, that's the word, away to get out. To no avail, just kept slipping back down. So he decides to go and sit in the corner and wait till daylight so he can see what he's doing. Not too long time later, somebody else comes along and falls into the same grave, starts screaming and shouting and clawing to get out. And this voice from the grave in the back corner says, you can't get out of here. But I tell you this, he did. And the moral of that is, the devil is screaming at you saying, you can't do this, you can't get out of this situation, you can't conquer that giant, you can't take down your Jericho, you can't cross your Jordan, you can't do what you're doing in your town, it won't happen for you.
Yes.
And a voice from heaven says,
hallelujah,
in me, yes you can.
Amen.
You can get out.
Hallelujah.
You can move forward, glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm here just to encourage you, strengthen you,
yes,
for to keep on going. Hallelujah. A lovely person I know who's got a women's ministry in Leeds, Mercy Ministries, Ariana Walker, she made this quote. She said, keep on going because you did not come this far just to come this far. Hallelujah. We didn't come this far just to come this far. We've got a finishing tape to break through. Hallelujah. Are you ready for a good one? God isn't only Alpha. He doesn't just start things. He's Omega. He finishes things. God isn't only Alpha. He doesn't just start things. He's Omega. He finishes things. He who has begun a good work in you shall complete it. Hallelujah. So our present, like Apostle Paul wrote, like Hebrews chapter 11 says, all what they face, weariness, tests, trials and things, we can get through. We can build each other up. We can move forward. Hallelujah. We can strengthen each other. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just referring back to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Again, so we have this ministry. We do not lose heart. But in verse 13 again, and it's since we have this same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke. Last night I wrote this and put it in brackets. Thought it was, if faith is in your believer, it will come out of your speaker. If faith is in your believer, it will come out of your speaker. If in the situations and circumstances you're going through, you slip into doubt, you slip into fear, anxiety, or something, and it gets in here, it's going to end up coming out of there. And we know that what we speak today is forming our tomorrow. So, basically, I just want to say, we have to guard our heart in ministry and as ministers, and think, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Hallelujah. So wherever we are at today does not matter. Does not matter how long we've been going. There's always one who's going to challenge every move we make. You know, we can look back at victories, but you know, there's always... It's like somebody once said, we're all in here today. We've either just come out of a storm, in a storm, or about to go into a storm. Because the enemy is always challenging the word in you. What you're going for with the word of God, what you're moving forward with in God. Everything that's in us of God, that is our plan and purpose and a pursuit to see his kingdom established, he wants to stop it. He wants to stop that seed of the word of God germinating and bearing fruit to his glory. Hallelujah. Yes. So we're challenged on every front. And in that challenge, we do get weary. That's why we need these times. Build each other up with you, undergird you. Refocus and relaunch. Hallelujah. So whatever situation, storm, circumstance, symptom, delay, question you may have today, Don't let what you're going through stop you getting to what you're going to. Don't let right now what you're going through stop you getting to where you're going to. Hallelujah. 40, just referring back to Brother John, David and Goliath. 40 days, Goliath had come out and presented himself. They were stopped in their tracks for what they were meant to be going to, because it was just a constant what we're going through. And David comes down and says, I'll sort it. Yeah. Hallelujah. Let's just flip over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, reading verse 20 to 27. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. It was interesting that this scripture, the Lord showed me something while I was at work. Of course, working in an office and it being, there's a lot of administration of things. We have HR, send us exercises, we have to do manual handling, health and safety, fire training. And we used to have a guy come in and do our fire training. And every year we'd come in and always ask, who are the new members? Who's not seen me before? So, you know, somebody had put their hand up and we all used to go, they're going to get the first question. And we knew what was coming. So he would say, what's fire? So if you don't, you know, don't you? What's fire? And of course, somebody would be trying, you know, and it's three elements make fire. You need fuel, you need heat, and you need oxygen. Those three together produce fire. Remove one of those three, extinguishes the fire. What do you think the devil's trying to do to you? He can't remove you because you're in glory, you're born again, but he's trying to extinguish the fire that God's put in your bones, the vision you've got, the call you've got to run that race and things. So he's coming to try to remove. And the Lord started to talk to me and said, 1 Corinthians 13:13, these things, three things remain, faith, hope, and love. So he made me make this. I'm not very artistic, it was just an eye. But it gives a visual, it's like a fire triangle. If this was like doing fire training, it would be fuel, heat, oxygen. Remove one of those, the fire goes out. The word of God says, a smoldering wax he will in no way snuff out. The devil is after the word in us, isn't he? He's after that word. So the Lord said, these three elements that will always remain, faith, hope, and love, that's what guards your heart. Always keep your faith up. Always keep your dreams before you. And always watch your love walk, which you've mentioned and alluded to already. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. That's a blessing. Fuel, oxygen, it makes a fire triangle. Remove any element and there's no fire. And that's the ploy of the enemy. He doesn't want us to fall out. He just wants us to lose our passion, get weary, sit down. Somebody else can do it. And then all of a sudden, you're sat here, and the Lord's 3 miles down the road because he's going from glory to glory. And we're here for each other. So you're in a race, and I'm running with you. And I'm getting alongside you. Amen. And we'll run together. Now, when you're strong enough and I'm here, you can run with me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, 1 Corinthians 13, just repeating it. Now abide faith, hope, and love. And of course, we know the greatest is love because God doesn't just do love, God is love. Mm. So, blessed with that, I learned off Brother Copeland. When he said it, I went, God doesn't just do love. God is love. It exudes out of him. I think, whoa. God is love. He has faith. He's the source of our hope. Jesus came that we might have life, life more abundantly. But the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And I've always found that interesting. The thief comes to it says scripturally in order, steal, then kill, then destroy. So thinking of the fire triangle, and I was thinking, okay, let me think, if faith is the fuel, he comes immediately to, in Mark 4, he comes immediately to steal the word. Because the word germinating is going to produce fruit because it's incorruptible seed. So he comes immediately to steal it. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And many times, you know, even I've done it. You've been in a meeting, you've got stirred up, you go out onto the car park, your car tire's flat, or halfway home you have a row with the wife, something goes on, and Satan's trying to steal the word immediately. He's trying to get you back into the arena of the flesh, not into the arena of the spirit. And so he's trying to come and steal that word. Many years ago, working not too far from here, when I left school, I went working on a golf course as a groundsman, and my boss was a born-again Christian. And I remember I was putting up a fence, and it was the barbed wire fence. We were knocking stakes in and unrolling the barbed wire. And the guy I was working with had unrolled it at one end, and he let it go. So it recoiled. It started at my ankles, went all the way around, round my neck, round my face, round my forehead. So I remember at the time, it might not have been a choice word, even though I was born again. But in essence, I was screaming, "Where are you in all this, God?" And in our walk with God, in our times of challenge and our times of things, we may all have said that. Where are you in this? Church isn't growing. This isn't happening. We've planned this and no one's turned up. And I said, "Where are you in all this?" Carried on with the day. That was in the morning. In the afternoon, we got onto another fairway doing that fence. Come the end of day, and it was packing up. We had a tractor and a one-ton trailer. Threw the stuff onto the one-ton trailer. Bill, who I was working with, he set off to drive off. Me being clever, 18, 19, thought I'll run and jump on the back rather than doing it when it was stationary. So he turns off, and I grab the side of the trailer to throw myself over, but my foot slips under the wheel. So now it's pinned my foot, so now I'm going down. So now this one-ton trailer goes up this side of my body, comes up here. As I watch it came to my face, he's turning. So it goes off over this shoulder. So now you've got a guy lying on the ninth fairway of Dean Golf Course in Bolton thinking, if anything's broken, when does the pain start? Is it just adrenaline? So I'm laying there. Can I move my leg? Yeah. Can I move this leg? Yeah. Can I sit up? Yeah. Oh, I'm all right. Jump up. Jump onto the back of the open trailer and sit there. The Lord says, "Son, that's where I am." Sitting trying to steal the word, but even when he's coming again, he's always with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's in this right now, in your situation and circumstance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If he can't steal the word out of you, then he'll try and kill your hope. Your hope is your vision. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, your confident expectation in God. What happens? Hope deferred makes the what? Heart. Guard your heart with all diligence. Deferred hope makes the heart grow sick. If he can come and steal your hope, steal your dream, steal your God-given vision, your ministry to go forward, you begin to, ain't going to work. No one's with me. No one's around me. And it's a ploy. It's a ploy. It's that constant boom, boom, boom. Hallelujah. But he's with us. Hallelujah. I remember applying for the job for Kenneth Copeland Ministries in the year 2000. Sent in my application form. Got a physical letter back through the post saying your application has not been accepted. you haven't got a job interview. And I just burst out laughing. We were staying at my mum and dad's. We were over there in Horwich. We drove down onto the Middlebrook where Bolton Wanderers' football ground was, went to McDonald's. We didn't have a lot of money. We just went. We sat in McDonald's on the Middlebrook over there in Horwich at Lostock. And my phone, mobile phone rings, and it's Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Andrew, we apologize. There's been a mistake. You have got an interview. Please ignore the letter you've got. I could have been influenced. I could have received the contradiction. But I laughed. Amen. And my heart doeth good, like a medicine, the joy of the Lord. And here I am, serving Kenneth Copeland Ministries. In May, it will be 20 years. But you know, my hope could have been quelled and destroyed right there, thinking, oh, I'd always wanted to work for Kenneth Copeland Ministries, but it was a challenge. I could have just, oh, well, that's it. But you just, God's got his timing. And it comes through for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That scripture in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick, goes on to say, but when desire comes, it's a tree of life. Hallelujah. God is committed to fulfilling your God-given desires. Hallelujah. Bringing them to pass. Glory to God. And then also in that, he will try and destroy your love walk. Hallelujah. Because love is our oxygen. It's the life of God, isn't it? God is love. He's birthed us. He's breathed that life into us. As Pastor Joe going in, back into Genesis 1, that is the essence of God's love in us. And he's trying to, you know, that's our, he's our oxygen, isn't he? He's the reason we breathe. Yes. And we live and move and have our being in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But and we know that faith worketh by love, and faith is the substance of things hoped for. So he tries to suffocate your ability to grow. So that's why you have to guard your heart and watch your love walk. Keep that, you know. He says, I'll show you a more better way. Follow the way of love. In those Corinthians, you know, 12 and 13 and 14, it's beautiful, following the way of love. And many years ago, this is my mum, by the way, over here. She led me to the Lord when I was 7. How long has Dad been dead now? Nearly 14 years. So 14 years ago, my father, being a minister, went on to be the Lord at 70. Me working in a faith ministry, didn't take it too well. Now having seen what it's like, it's a roller coaster. It's waves. It's ups, it's downs. It challenged my love walk with God, with my family, with everything around me. It pushed on a wobble. But you know the beauty of God? He's a dream giver. Yeah. And he gave me a dream. And I was with my dad. It was like a water slide, because we used to go to Centre Parks once a year, all the families, my wife family and our family, and that water slide. And we'd come to the end, and it was the final drop. And everybody had turned around and gone back. And I said, Dad, are you coming? And he said, yeah. And I turned around to set off, and when I turned back, he'd gone. And the Lord said, because he died, he'd been resuscitated. And then before I could see him when I drove up, he'd gone again. But the nurse said to us, he was fine this morning. He smiled and said hello, and then just put his head back with a big smile and went. And the Lord said, he wanted to stay, Andrew. I suppose if you get a taste of it, you'd probably just want to stay. That was all right until I was back at the ministry and we were doing daily devotions, and Keith Moore was on the broadcast with Kenneth Copeland, and out of the blue, Kenneth says, Keith, tell the people about your dad. And Keith Moore said, my dad was a minister And he went on to be with the Lord at 70. I thought, hey, hey. This is, My ears now prick up. He said, yeah, and I was really disappointed. And I had it out with God. It's not fair. 70 is not the right age. You've promised 120. And he's in ministry. And he's gone. And it's not fair. It really is. There's all these things I haven't done with him. All these things I want to do with him. All these things. And he said, and the Lord said to me, Keith, what are you going on about? What do you mean? He said, you selfish thing. You've had all these years with him. And now you're all bent out of shape because he's died. Only problem is, Keith, he isn't dead. Where do you think he is? Yes. He's very much alive and he's right here with me. And this is what set me free about my dad. He said, Keith, who's told you you can't do those things you have not yet had a chance to do? You can do them when you get here. You want to know what heaven's like? Oh. You know, if you've lost a loved one and they're in glory, some of those things you thought, I never got a chance to do that. You will. You will. You can catch up. I think it's a fun place, I guess. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what I'm trying to say is, it was trying to affect my love walk. Yes? Yeah. With fellow workers, with family, with everything, with how I viewed the lost, how I viewed ministry, it was there. The same with, you know, so there's these elements, but this element, faith, hope, and love. Keep your faith built up. Keep your hopes alive. Keep those God-given dreams, that promise, even though it might not yet be totally fulfilled, or you're on the way to it. Don't let where you are stop you going to where you're going to. You're on the way. Just that's where we're at. Keep your hope alive and keep that love walk fueled up. Keep that fuel so that fire keeps burning. Hallelujah. Praise Amen. God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Kenneth Hagin said this: the devil recognizes authority. Stand your ground.
Yes.
Amen. Ministers, stand your ground. But it's stand your ground. But you don't understand your ground.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
You've got authority. Hallelujah. So Pastor Joe said, you've got authority. We have dominion. He took us back even to the beginning. He gave dominion. We have dominion. We have authority. In Romans 4:18, Abraham, contrary to everything, Abram's body and Sarah's body were beyond, you know, they couldn't conceive, they couldn't have children. Hallelujah. He must have, you know, God said, no, you're going to have a child in your old age. He didn't let circumstance, he didn't let the influence of medical science, he didn't let the contradiction of what his physical body told him thwart him from receiving what God had promised. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He didn't let that childlessness dictate to him. Glory to God. Abram believed God's report. I think it's... How am I doing? Well, is time all right? Glory to God. It's... Romans 4:18. So he says, who contrary to hope, in hope believes, so that he became the father of many nations. Abram believed God's report. Glory to his name. He believed in hope that he might become something. Hallelujah. You know, just going back to another testimony, when we actually applied to go to Bible college, we sent the application off to South Africa and we got accepted. But when it came to visas, we got a letter through the post saying visas refused, may not proceed to South Africa on a student visa for 2 years training. Now, in this time, we'd already taken a step of faith. We'd given up work, we'd sold our house, and we were living with parents. It was at that moment that you find out that quite a few Christians, you know, were saying to our parents, what if? What if they don't go? What if it doesn't happen? What are they going to do? And at that moment in time, when we got this letter through the post saying, may not proceed, my wife burst into tears, of course, because she's got this London, South African office of, you know, the South African embassy. No, you may not proceed. So I said, come here. So I put the Bible on the floor. I put the letter on the floor. And I said, whose report do we believe? We've done all this preparation because we believe we can see ourselves going to Bible college in South Africa, going to a Word of Faith Bible college. What report do we believe? I said, God transferred somebody supernaturally to go and minister to somebody else. He can transfer us supernaturally into South Africa if he wants us in that Bible college. There's no passport control can stop him doing that if he needs to. So that's the report. God said, go, we're going. My wife, I think within that following week, phones Pretoria. From here in Horwich, just a few miles up the road, phones Pretoria in South Africa. This little voice answers the phone saying, hello. My wife says, this is Mrs. Prescott phoning from the UK. This little voice says, Mrs. Prescott, this is Mr. Hugo in the Pretoria visa application office there in Pretoria. Mrs. Prescott, how strange. I'm looking at your application right now in front of me on this desk. This is your name in front of me. Who told you you couldn't come? Who's told you you've not been accepted? It's just a process. They'll be coming in the post. You know, that's kind of goosebump moments. But God is faithful. Hallelujah. Amen. So it doesn't matter when we're going through those things. I know what it... It's been a crazy day, Stephen, because you just, you know, everything just goes by the board. But ever the Lord wants to do. But he's just faithful. Hallelujah. He's a faithful God. So guys, this day, just guard your heart, keep your faith level up, keep your hopes up, keep your dreams alive, because we become what we believe. The devil will challenge us every day, but we're becoming what he's destined us to become. What God has destined us to become, we will become. Why? Because he's the author and perfecter of our faith. What he has authorized, he finishes. If he's begun the good work, he will complete the good work. Just referring back to Abram. Abram was 100 years old and was still planning what he would become. It was something he could not attain on his own, but only with the supernatural power of God. And he did become the father of many nations. We are in Abraham. We are of Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. The blessing of Abraham is upon us. Glory to God. You know, he can look, if he's on them ramparts, he's in that gallery overlooking, shouting us on, saying, that's the promise of God to me. That's the promise. I will make you a father of many nations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in. Oh, I want to just do a call to action. I want to just impart something to you. Referring back to our leaders day on the 27th of September, we were blessed to have Pastor Tim Ramsey. And Pastor Tim Ramsey has a church in London, a church in Luton, oversees a church in Brussels. But he's Bishop Keith Butler's pastor in the UK. So he brought a very powerful word. But in it, he did something that I responded to. And when he'd done the prayer, I said, pray for me. And he referred to this scripture. I'll read it to you. You don't need to turn there. But it's in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And I love this statement Jesus made. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Hallelujah. Now, Bishop Ramsey went on to say, that sifting is like when you've got one of those big sifts, not when you're cooking and you've got a little flour sift over your thing, but it's them big ones. We used them on the golf course sifting. You know, you'd have two shovelfuls of sand, a shovel full of peat and soil, and you'd be to sift it through and throw so you could make top dressing for the greens. And he said it's that constant shaking. And he said, you know, in leadership and in ministry many times, that's all the devil is trying to do. It's that constant sifting, shake, 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 that, so that you just get weary with the buffet and the buffet and the buffet. And he said, some of you guys in this room, that's what it feels like. And I'm going to be very, again, we've all been very open today. And I'm thinking, here I am working in a big ministry where the prophet has said it's the year of abundant harvest. And yet I feel shaken. I feel, you know, we've got physical things need doing at home. We've got this situation and that situation. I'm absolutely just, it's causing anxiety. It's causing just, so it, you know, I went out for prayer and it was like just an impartation. It was that getting around to say it was a safe environment so I could carry on going forward. And you know, I love what Jesus said to him, when you have returned to me. He hadn't even told him he was going to deny him yet, but he's already prophesied when you return. He knew he'd come back. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter. In our minds, we might have said, where are you in all this, Lord? Where are you in my ministry? Why are they doing what they're doing and growing and we're not doing anything and we're not? And then, no, he's trying to sift you. He's trying to get you just to stop in your tracks. But we're those who are going to go on. Hallelujah. We're moving forward. Glory to God. We're pressing on. We are in this together. And this is what the Lord just told me to speak over you. We'll just do something as a point of contact. But I was reminded of Exodus 17, where Moses... I love this because the first part made me think of church life and the second part made me think of the pastor. It says, Exodus 17, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended with Moses and said, give us water to drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And it goes on. So Moses cried out, what am I got to do with all these people? You know, as pastors, have we ever said that? You know, when I asked, what are we going to do with this congregation, Lord? Anyway, and the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people. And of course, you know that he strikes the rock and out of it the water comes and they have a drink. Moses did this to show that the Lord was amongst them. They just got over that. All these people complaining about nothing to drink. And he's just thinking, hallelujah, there's your drink. And then Amalek attacks them. You think, you just got over one thing. And lo and behold, now we've got an enemy attacking us. And that's just what the devil's like, isn't it? You know, you go through one thing and then next thing comes on. So Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some men and go out and fight. And tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Ur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Ur supported his hands, one on each side of the other, and his and held his hands up so they were steady until the going down of the sun. So it was that Joshua defeated Amalek and his people by the hedge of the sword. Hallelujah. And I'm here to lift your hands so that you win. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are here to serve you, to lift your hands so that you come through and you see that which is coming against you. That's what's trying to weary you. That's what's trying to contend with you. That's what's trying to influence you, to see it brought to naught. Amen. Amen. They put a stone under Moses. We have the rock of our salvation that we sit in. You are seated in Christ in heavenly places. The chief cornerstone, the rock of our salvation, is on us. We just come alongside you as ministers. Lift your hands while you're seated in Christ in a place of victory to see that come through for you. Hallelujah. Let's just stand together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.